Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ajanati Priyatamam. Yadoparatam Angana. Sustira Sana Mastaya. Yata Purvam Upacharat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki!
Translation. The daughter of King Vidarbha continued as usual to serve her husband, who was seated in a steady posture until she could ascertain that he had passed away from the body. Please repeat. The daughter of King Vidarbha continued as usual to serve her husband, who was seated in a steady posture until she could ascertain that he had passed away from the body. Purport. It appears that the queen did not even talk to her husband while serving. She would simply perform her prescribed duties without talk. Thus, she did not stop rendering service until she could ascertain that her husband had passed from the body. Reading these pastimes in the Bhagavatam always bring to light how the Bhagavatam is like a rainbow. It provides so many colors of analogies, pastimes, personalities, philosophy, examples, the Lord's facilities for spiritual advancement. And this is a wonderful follow-up to a chapter which you've just finished in terms of the King Paranjan. Very nice allegory dealing with the material field, dealing with the body, attraction, and distractions in the material field. And these particular dangers, if we are in the platform of Maya, Sukhaya, Param Ubhido, Vimudha, if we absorb ourselves in material affairs. So here we have, after the complete description, allegory of the material field and what to watch out for, we're having a description of how this daughter of King Vidarbha, she, in the association with her husband, who was a qualified guru, that she became detached from this world. And earlier verses described how she would not comb her hair, like dreads, and she was very detached from the body. And this verse describes the final stages in this world where her husband leaves. And it's noted here that she's not speaking to the husband about mundane subjects. In fact, she wasn't even speaking at all. She was rendering the principle of seva. And it's described that as she understood, the soul had left the body because various limbs of the body were becoming cold. Krishna consciousness is an amazing experience of actually how to die before we die. We can study our identification with the material field. The problem begins from icha vesha, desire and hate, like a two-sided coin. And as we are in this field, driving particular forms, we develop certain attachments, and we develop various distractions on the material path. It's a nice story about the king who had four wives. You might think, well, you know, four wives. Vedic culture could prescribe these formulas. And anyways, it came for the king to leave this world. So he's very sick. So he's asking his first wife. His first wife, he loved her so much. And he took care of her all the time, always asking what she wants, what can please her, doing everything to satisfy her. So he asked his first wife, "My dear, It is coming for me to leave this world. You see, Vedic culture, this was called the Sati Rite, where the wife, the Dharmapatni, the developing a relationship with her husband, will follow the husband into the next situation. And that's where she would go into a pyre of burning wood and follow the husband to his next destination. So he asked her, "Will you follow me to the next world?" She goes, "No, I will not follow you. I can't follow you." And he was like thunderstruck. Oh, this wife, I've given so much attention, and now she's neglecting me. So he had a second wife, and he asked his second wife, "My dear, will you follow me to the next arrangement for us?" "My dear, I'll follow you to the grave only. And I will remarry after that." Oh, the pain. I mean, for example, his second life was very beautiful. So beautiful that oftentimes he'd be very nervous to see that, oh, someone else is looking at my wife. He was very jealous. And now she's going to leave me like that. And the third wife, she was very... She'd always listen to his problems. "Prabhu, oh Prabhu, yes, yes. Oh, I understand, Prabhu." She'd always listen to him and comfort him. So he had a very deep relation with her. But no, no. "I will just follow you to the grave. That's it. Then no, I'm that's as far as I can go." "Oh, no. Follow me to the grave only." And then the fourth wife, who was not taken well care of, niggardly dress, very thin, emaciated. She'd always perform austerities. And she said to him, "My dear, I will follow you anywhere. Oh, I neglected you all these years. You are the one who truly loves me the most." My first wife, she has told me that, "No, I cannot go to a future destination with you. I treated her so nicely. I even bought her chocolate pizza at the MBT. Of course, that's a commercial break. No, that's not part of it, but anyways. And my second wife, she's going to marry another as soon as I die. And the third wife, she'll follow me to the grave only. But you... you will follow me to the next destination." So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells this story because all of us, we have four wives. That's right. Doesn't matter what form you have four wives. Or maybe if you're the female gender, you see you have four husbands, okay? The first wife is our body. Because you cannot take the body with you. The soul cannot preserve. Of course, some paths like to kind of, well, yes, spiritual abode, we're in the same form. Can you imagine? Eternal form of, you just look in the mirror, you know, there's a sense of humor there. There's always something wrong, you know. That body is going to be in a spiritual abode? No. So anyways, the body we cannot take with us. The second wife who is going to remarry is one's wealth. Srila Prabhupada describes how even if... there was one man who was going to leave this world, a very rich man. He's saying, "Oh, doctor, please, please, just give me a few more years." Maya sukaya param uvido vimudha. Happiness and distress, you become vimudha, super fool. So he's thinking, "Just give me a few more years of my family." So anyways, the wealth is temporary. You're born naked and you leave naked. And the third wife is compared to the family members, who can only follow you up to the grave. You know, in the Bhagavatam, there's a nice photo of the family members. "Yeah, the old gizzard, the old guy's going to leave. I'm going to get his car, and I'm going to get his money, and something. I might get his wife." I'll talk about that later. No, but you can see the material motivation that can be there. But the fourth wife, who was not taken care of, who was ignored, described, this fourth wife was a super soul, the Lord in the heart, who is always our witness. and is always watching the living entity. So in this way, we see how it becomes a great embarrassment when we become attached to these various wives. And we develop a sense of embarrassment. Now, if we look at the world we live in, there's various modes of nature at work, goodness and passion and ignorance. And there's always, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, a competition for supremacy. Like a change of government, so it's goodness or passion or ignorance. All these different modes of nature control us in various ways. And as I said, yantra-rudani-maya, the living entity becomes seated on a machine made of the material energy. And it was actually at the museum in Los Angeles, they have a very nice tape museum there. They have a very nice diorama of the four senses as the horses and the reins and the driver, the soul, within the jiva, within the chariot, controlled by these senses. So in this way, we're just finished here. This translation is described how the king, the queen, his understanding of how I should serve my husband, how I should always remember Krishna. And she's prepared towards her future situation. The other verse down the road describes how when the husband leaves, compared to the husband as a spiritual master. And when the spiritual master leaves, then the disciple should be very distraught, because she becomes very, very, because of her attachment, because of that love for the spiritual, her husband, so much anxiety comes. Now, there's a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam which gives us an understanding of how these arrangements, with the body falling apart, the philosophical understanding of what Krishna consciousness is all about, the description of the different personalities. Dhruva Maharaj describes a very wonderful verse that describes the mercy of God, because all these things are the mercy of the Supreme. Everything that happens to us is perfect and complete. If you just reflect about your previous history coming to Krishna consciousness, that first time you taste prasad, someone may have placed a book in your hand, or that other person, he spoke such words that were able to cut your material attachments, your Vartmana Pradakshana Guru, that person who introduces you to Krishna consciousness. Jai Ho, Shri Shri Gonditai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Shamasundar Litra Vishaka Devi Ki Jai. That person introduces you to Krishna consciousness. We're being introduced into the mercy of the Supreme. So Dhruva Maharaj quotes this one verse. It is in the third canto, fourth canto, ninth chapter, text 17. Satya visho hi bhagavam sita pada padmam asis tanu bhagavata purusharta murte apyena marya bhagavan paripati dinam vasneva vatsakam anugrahata batakova smam. My dear Lord, you as a supreme personification of mercy are actually protecting your devotee. For someone who surrenders to your lotus feet, that person becomes the greatest person, greater than any king, controlling any kingdom. You are the personification of causeless mercy, just like the cow licks her cub and protects the calf from any type of danger. This is what a cow will do. By licking the body of the calf, there's so much pollutants that are there, blood, stool, urine. She will clean the calf. And that out of love, out of a natural love. And in this way, this is what Dhruva Maharaj brings, the principle of one who is karta, one who is absorbed in service to the Supreme Lord. They develop a realization of how the Lord in every situation for me has made perfect arrangements for just what I need. So you acknowledge those early days coming to Krishna consciousness. I remember I was just in reflection that I was I'd left the university after 2 years, and I became a carpenter. It wasn't because of but I became a carpenter. I wanted to do something practical. And anyways, I was exercising on a beach, and at that time I physically had epilepsy. And I had a seizure, so I went into the water, and I'm floating out to sea. And it's a story, a lifeguard came out of, a big stretch of beach. What's interesting, when I woke up in the hospital, because epilepsy means you go unconscious. And the nurse said to me, it was quite interesting, she said, here I was at the age of 21. She said, God has brought you back because you have a mission to fulfill in this world. I was just a mission, God, at that time. Of course, I believed in the Supreme, but God, mission, what's this? And then step by step came prasadam, came the sadhu sangha. And then all step by step, then there came I got a book, and I was able to distribute that book. So step by step, perfect, complete arrangements. And each of one of you, if you reflect in terms of how you came to Krishna consciousness, every devotee has such a wealth. You notice how the Supreme Lord is there. He's watching. He's observing. Because we're in a very dangerous field. Vaivam shabjiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, manasa sandriyani, pakriti stani karshati. Because what is that dangerous field? Because we are fragmental parts and parcels of Krishna, but we are struggling in this material field with the six senses, which include the mind. The problem is this, is familiarity. After so many years, I've become a devotee. I'm Kokbalo Brahmachari, or I'm sannyasi, or I'm a very nice distributor. I'm a nice preacher. I'm a pakka brahmachari, brahmacharini, pakka grihasta. We become a little wooden-headed, taking things for granted. Maya sukaya varam uvido vimudha. Again, we begin bewildered by taking things for granted. Yes, bewildered by Maya. We begin to take things for granted. And we begin to take the association for granted. So what is this field? Is basically due to materialistic realities, due to lust. So while contemplating the opposite of the sense of development, attachment, lust, all these things develop, and we develop an embarrassment, just like Kuhu. He did not get up when the sage came in the room, a superior. Then he was cursed. Vedic culture has, in previous times, is very expert cursors. So then he became Gajendra in his next birth. And Gajendra, you well know, the pastime, elephant, very powerful animal of the forest. And by the providential arrangement, he goes to the edge of the lake, and there for 1,000 years he engaged in a battle with a crocodile. And the family members are pulling at his tail and legs, all the family members. But to have no avail, they could not help, and after 1,000 years, well, may God be with you. He had to fight himself, and that's when, because he was King Indradumna in a previous life, not different Indradumna, he knows so many shlokas. That's why it's nice to, when we learn so many shlokas, then we can use them at the right time. Even at the time of death, these things can come. So with lotus flower in hand and chanting various prayers in glorification of the Lord, the Supreme heard his words. Of course, was it Lord Brahma heard, and Lord Shiva heard, and Parvati said, no, you must go help him. I will go myself if you don't. But no, listen, this call is not for me. It's for Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu even kicked over a plate of fruit. He ran out the door enthusiastically to go help his devotee. Again, we're speaking about the mercy of God. He even forgot to go, because whenever the Lord goes, just like in any movie set, Hollywood, everything is fuck up, complete. He forgot his uttariya. He forgot his cloth, and Lakshmi had to run behind him to give him his chadar. But he went and saved his devotee. But you see, Gajendra, or Huhu, had so many good intentions, but he made a mistake. And the same, but he got the blessing that he would be liberated by the Supreme Lord. So again, we want to be conscientious, shall we say, of not having to make mistakes. Because we have to understand our whole life, our whole existence is the mercy of God. And we cannot take any situation for granted. Just like if you're flying internationally, you have to buy the ticket. There's rules and regulations for weights that go on the plane like that. And you go into a transit lounge. You obey the laws of the airport. Mundane austerities. But in order to get, if you're coming to Braj, flying from one point A to point B, there's certain protocols you have to follow. And in this way, one can come to a platform of appreciation. So here, the daughter of King Vaidarbha, she understood the culture of a serious vanaprasth life with her husband. How there was just seva in the center. There was just a complete relationship of loving reciprocation in the center. And in this way, one comes into a relationship with the Supreme Lord, which is most unique, to see actually how the Supreme is so kind, giving attention to his devotee in all situations, that even when the child is in the womb, now in the Bhagavatam, it is Canto 3, Chapter 18, Text 31. It's 33-38, actually. There's a very description, nice description of the child who's in the womb. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, it's very clear how just the Lord describes how fire is covered by smoke, or similarly, how like a dust or mirror could be covered by dust, or how the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is covered by different degrees of this forgetfulness or lust of the Supreme. So in this way, when we understand the principle of how Krishna is so merciful that he even reveals knowledge in the womb. So in the text 38 describes, Inedrishim gatim mavadasha masa isha Sangrahata kuru nandana vaya drisho sinayeva tushchati kritena didiva nata kunama tatpati vijanam asikuryat. My Lord, your causeless mercy is that even though I'm only 10 months old, it's a fetus in this room at the age of 10 months, even though I am so fallen, and I have fallen in this condition of life, Please allow me to never forget you. The Lord, the Dhammi Bodhi Yogam Tam, is giving intelligence to the jiva. By the time of birth, we begin to forget. It's like a concussion, the time of birth. One forgets one's relation. One forgets how the mercy of the Lord is working in so many wondrous ways that we become a little bit enamored. And we actually become, we begin to take things for granted. Now, as is described, how the Lord, he does not see the fault in his devotee. And you know the pastime of Bali Maharaj. Bali had actually performed the sin, great monkey king. But he performed the sin of kidnapping, taking the wife of another. So, actually, this is a great sin in terms of Vedic culture. So Lord Ramachandra, he killed Bali, but he wasn't front face to face. He killed him behind a rock. One may think, well, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have all power. Why does Bhagavan have to hide behind a rock? But see, the Lord acts in many multifarious ways to satisfy his devotees, because what happened was, is that Lord Brahma had given a benediction to Bali. Whoever fights with you will get half your strength. So that is the reason the Lord hid himself to kill Bali. Now, as you know, Sugriva, he was the next in charge. And he became a little intoxicated as soon as he got Bali's kingdom, got his kingdom back, and he took Bali's wife. In the same way, he performed a forbidden act, taking the wife of another. And he became a little bit intoxicated, and that's when Lord Ramachandra sent Lakshman to go and threaten him, to wake him up. So in this way, Sugriva had made an offense. And also Vibhishan, the brother of Ravana, after he was given the kingdom, he took the wife of Ravana. And that way, that was also considered a negative act. But Lord Ramachandra, when he met Bharat Maharaj, he never spoke to Bharat about, oh, to see what Sugriva did, to see what Vibhishan did. Because the Supreme Lord looks at the good qualities of his devotees. That is his nature. When Lord Ramachandra was asking for the help of the different monkey soldiers, he'd be sitting on the ground. And what do the monkeys do? They hang up in the trees. And what do the monkeys do in the trees besides steal people's glasses and eat bananas? They pass stool and urine. But Lord Ramachandra, he glorified them. He did not see that negative quality, and right before the Supreme Lord, they're passing stool and urine in his presence. And Lord Ramachandra is below. It's like Arjuna was on the chariot. Lord Krishna was below Arjuna to act as a charioteer, to speak the Bhagavad Gita, to demonstrate that actually the devotee controls me in love. But you see, the Supreme, he'll see everything. He'll view every situation in a positive light, to always see these good qualities in his devotee. And he'll even overlook. So the one verse, how it is described, how Rahati na prabhu chila chukkiye ki. The Lord does not see the faults. Actually, it is described that if wonders one aspect of service, the Lord will meditate on that 100 times. So just see the power of bhakti. Just see the power of devotion. To understand the mercy of the Lord, we have to see everything in connection. So we study the different processes, the different aspects of bhakti. How that, yes, the reality of adoshada. First of all, we develop a sense of faith. Then we come to the platform to ta sadhu. We come in contact with a saintly person. Then, in terms of the principle of sanghavrata, that actually that association is what gives us strength. Then bhajana kriya, the process of devotional service. Engaging in devotional service. This gives us a runway for purification. Then if we study how tato narta nivritti syat, that by the anarchas, by devotional service, the anarchas will go, will be freed from these things. Then there is tato nishta tataruchi. One becomes fixed. And when one becomes fixed, there is an interest or there is a taste in devotional culture. Then asakti develops. There's attachment. Then there's bhav. There's a mellow of absorption. And finally coming to the goal of prem. Everything is chronological. It is perfectly developed. So again, you reflect. You reflect on how you all came to Krishna consciousness, one situation after the next, leading you in this way and that way, the next step, the next step. Then you're following the process. And through that sadhu sangha, through the devotional commitments, through the process of anartha nivritti, Krishna surya sammahant andhakar, the light of Krishna, where there's a light of Krishna consciousness, darkness cannot enter. So slowly we come to life. As we distribute, because the distribution means heart transformation. So we begin to understand what this daughter of King Vaidarbha is understood. Detachment and always focusing on this principle of seva. Because that is actually what we are looking for. This principle of becoming in connection. And overlooking all the obstacles. In the early days in Ukraine, in Russia, when Prabhupada was first speaking with the devotees, in those days, just to get a potato, you had to wait a long time in line. So the devotee said, Prabhupada, we had to perform so much austerities. Just to get a potato, we have to wait in line. And Prabhupada said, then eat meat. Offer meat to Krishna. Prabhupada, what about our consciousness? The hell with your consciousness. Preach. Of course, to my knowledge, I don't think any of our members had to go that far. But Prabhupada's point was here. You, Paramdrisvanavartate, you give up all lower tastes by experiencing the higher tastes of cultivation work. You see, because of our samskaras, our habits, we have not all of us, some of us here, but not all of us have taken birth in the holy Dham as Dhamvasis. We've taken birth in various lands where spiritual culture is so hidden, it is so covered. So in this way, we can take great consolation in this process. And to view the devotees that are sent around us as insurance policies for spiritual progression. But don't take things for granted. Oh, I've been a devotee for so many years, 10 years, 20 years. Or maybe I've been collecting so much. See, sometimes the distribution has a purification of heart. Or cultivation is a purification of heart. But sometimes, even in various arenas, so much collection may be there, but we begin to forget that Krishna is a supreme proprietor and supreme controller. So then we become a little mechanical. Or we come to Braj, we come to the holy Dham with materialistic vision. Actually, in the process of Dham Upasana, as we study, as we worship the Dham, we have to be very conscientious. Because in reality, according to Prabhupada Sarasvati, all those personalities born in the Dham, they are considered worshipful. Doesn't matter what kind of body they have. So, coming from a Western conditioning, we may come to the Dham and see so many dirty things. And see so many inebrieties. Well, if you go to the West, you get a $200 fine if you see, you know, some cup on the ground like that. But actually, this is a mild form of Dham Aparad. Because actually, on the topmost platform, Krishna Sarvakata, God is everywhere. He's in the hearts of all living entities. The deity worship, the Nam Rupa, these type of sevas are a beginning stage towards understanding, to perceive Krishna, to serve Krishna. And that is like, it's like a medium. The holy name is a medium for purification of our materialistic samskaras. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of his agents in Parampara, that we find the principle of Guru has brought us to a whole new level. Now, we all understand the importance of service to Guru. as we were hearing the other day. But there's different types of Gurus. Even service to the personal Guru, there can be a mistake. There can be even an aparad. Now, what is more merciful, of course, understand what I'm saying here. We're not doing anything without offering it to Guru. We offer everything to our personal Guru. But beyond, in terms of Guru Tattva, there's also, in terms of Go Seva, service to Mother Cow. Because Gomata is most merciful. And there are evidences throughout history of personalities who were not initiated by any guru, who simply did go-seva day in and day out, taking care of the cow. And they received sakshat darshan of the Lord. Because they were so... Because the Gomata is so dear to Krishna. But what is more merciful than go-seva is... Dham Seva. Because actually the Dham is non-different. It is non-different from Krishna. It is direct Seva to the Supreme Lord. Again, we're doing all Sevas on be offering all to Guru. We're approaching these different services through Guru. But the principle being is that even we can make mistake with persons. And the Shastras describe it is an offense to see a pure devotee's body in a materialistic light. So through seva, we become purified of that. And my hat's off to the management and any devotees involved who participate in going out and cleaning Lilita Kund. Because you cannot say that you are going back to God in this life. You cannot say even, of course I remember Janadivas and Mayapur going, the Pajaris, they go directly back to God. You cannot say that even you are qualified to take birth in the future Bohm Leelas who get trained up. Of course, we have to get trained up somewhere. But for anyone who does this Dham Seva, that is non-different than your like a deposit in a bank account in Golok. Because the Dham is non-different from Golok. This Bohm Dham is non-different from Golok Dham. And service to the residents is non-different. So for anyone who does Dham Seva, there is a certain, there's a sense of connection. And we spend much time at Radha Kund inviting many devotees to do this Dham Seva, whether it's cleaning the steps of Radha Kund or doing various clean around the Parikrama Marg. Presently, the devotees, the Brijvasis, are spending 5 hours a day, costs like 3,000 rupees for a bridge vasi to work 5 hours a day, cleaning all polyurethane bags off Giriraj. Because following Mahaprabhu's mood, we cannot walk on Giriraji. So in this way, the bridge vasis, they have the birth, so they can do these things. And but doing the Dham Seva, in the final day, Srila Prabhupada, he had a desire. Of course, he was using this when his body was very frail, to have Giriraj Parikrama. Of course, Prabhupada was using that to bring his devotees together, but he had a desire to circumambulate Giriraj at the final stage of his life. And this tore the devotees apart. Prabhupada, you can't do this, please. But Srila Prabhupada showed his appreciation for Giri Govardhan. So it's very wonderful, because yes, Prabhupada, he gave us this formula. I have given you the framework, now you decorate. So we shouldn't think materialistic. Well, Srila Prabhupada didn't speak about, you know, cleaning outside, doing cleaning work outside the temple. But we have to understand, I've given you the framework. You want to be distributors of Krishna consciousness. You want to attract people to the process of Krishna consciousness. Then how is it possible that you can canvas and go invite people to come to the holy Dham, which is completely neglected? And I've said before, do you really think their lordships are simply locked on the altar in their deity form, holding the flute, dancing, holding with a club? Do you think these lordships are locked on the altar? There was one time one man had come before these... to the temple, and he was just standing before the doors, and he was like sitting like this. He was in great ecstasy, and the devotees asked, "What is this?" And he goes, "I am simply meditating on the pastimes that Krishna Balaram are having right now." And the devotees are going, "Pastimes? You know, they look like they're just standing there. What pastimes?" So they asked Prabhupada that night, "Yes, these deities have pastimes daily." So then we can go in our distribution focus We're working so hard to bring people to the Dom, but if we do go outside the door, you look, it's like if you go to Tirumala, anyone's been to Balaji, it's run by the government. You cannot find a cigarette butt. We've seen this principle. It's not like, well, you know, to clean this mess, so more people drop more mess. But what's actually happened at Radhakund, because some of our devotees have gone around, even clean in front of the tea stalls, and all of a sudden, we have to educate persons. They begin to clean up their own mess like that. Because due to shall we say, you know, I was saying how sometimes there can be a tendency to become wooden-headed, to take things for granted. So many of the locals are amazed. They maybe not clean themselves, but they develop such an appreciation seeing others, especially if you have white skin, doing some form of seva like that. So, according to Jayavadharma by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he emphasizes the power of Dham Seva. And right now, it was about 3 years ago, I was out in Raghunath Das Goswami's Samadhi, and I was just scraping the steps. So some kids from Delhi were laughing, "Ha! What are you doing this, you know, this type of service for?" And one Babaji came out from the main mandir there, and he goes, "No! He is representing Radharani. He is representing ISKCON. He is representing Prabhupada." And a Babaji was saying like this, great appreciation. See, in other words, in the Dham, you really can't preach to the locals. But through seva, that is preaching. And the side benefit of doing Dham seva and the Go seva is that our future generations will have the same habit of coming to the Dham and seeing its pristine glory. One can ask, why is it that the Dham can depreciate as it does? An example could be given, just like a scorpion. A scorpion mother will give birth to her children. But what will she do to help her children survive the early stages? She will feed her own body to her very own children. So Krishna allows his own body to depreciate to see what is the response of his devotees. So when lately I've been seeing at Radhakund and hearing, and today, you know, you're announcing bus schedules for sending devotees. If anybody has the opportunity to do Dham Seva like that, then you are immediately taken off the tour bus, coming to the Dham in a tour bus. The parikramas are wonderful to hear from saintly persons about the Dham. But still, if we don't get out and do some type of seva, we want, just like if you work in a job, someone comes to the company, you just work there. You know the ins and outs of the whole company. You just work there. So when we come to Dham, we shouldn't come, because Prabhupada said one purport, Vrindavan Dham, you should spend 3 days, because he's thinking of a material example, 3 days and go onward. But then in the same purport, he says, but if you have some service. So actually, those who come to Braj, their service is to absorb the Dham with their heart and distribute the Dham. So then when you return to the western fields, you'll be strong. And the best way to return in your distribution focus is to really understand the power of the Dham with your heart. Do you understand that to understand the presence of the deity or the emotion of the deity wherever we go, the time of death, do you actually think you'll be able to be brought? When does someone who's leaving their body brought before Gornitai, before Krishna Balaram, brought before Radhashyama Sundar? This practice of deity worship and the Nam Seva creates an emotional experience throughout your life. You see the deity everywhere. So at the time of death, when you are helpless, the deity, your worshipful Ishtadeva, will come to you. This is what devotional service is all about, to absorb that mood, the presence, the emotion of the deity. In the past time when Hanuman was confronting Ravana, So they're going to fight. So Ravana said, hit me first. So Hanuman goes, okay, and then and then Ravana went so many yojanas, I forgot the exact amount, came back. So then Hanuman goes, okay, now hit me. And then Ravana gave his best punch and didn't even move, his best punch. But Hanuman looked down and he goes, oh no. One of his hairs had bent. Ravana had bent one of the hairs of Hanuman. He goes, oh no! Oh, where are my hairs? Where are my hairs? And Ravana's going, he's pretty philosophical character. What is this? What is this? You're crying over a little broken hair? You just hit me, many yojanas, and I'm back. This body belongs to Ram. So disciple understands that everything belongs to Guru in relationship to Krishna. So in that way, we can understand the importance of developing the vibration of the deity. And we'll see in an equipoised manner. A very nice pastime I'll close with is Jayadev. How Jayadev, this is our great Jayadev who sang the Gita Govinda, who wrote this beautiful prayer. So one time, he was confronted by robbers in the woods who took his wealth. And actually, he gave his wealth up so easily because he's a devotee, he's completely detached. Because in the third stage of spiritual development is a sakti, is attachment. At the same time, there's detachment towards material things. So he gave his gold up willingly. And they're thinking, oh no, he's giving things up too quickly. He will tell the king and will be executed. So they punished him. They cut off his hands and legs and threw him into a well. And a pious king came by the well and he saw this mangled body in the well. He brought him up and it was revealed that this is great Jayadev. He paid his obeisances and he brought him back and got so many of his doctors to help heal him. So then he stayed in the kingdom. But one day, those robbers, there's different versions of the story that actually, you know, the versions of where, because of his saintliness, his hands and legs came back. There's two versions of that on the moment. But in this version is where, described in the Bhakta Mal, that these robbers came. So then, Jayadev saw the robbers. He went and paid his respectful obeisances to the robbers. And he told the king, oh, these are great saints. Treat them nicely. You see, the sadhu is thinking, this is an arrangement of the Supreme. Whatever you've arranged for me, Krishna, is perfect and complete. I accept that. It's just this parabdha karma. Everything has been cleansed by your mercy. So in this way, the thieves were very nervous. What is this? Why is he worshiping us? He told the king. So then the king brought them into the palace. You know, they're all nervous. They're thinking, any moment, he's going to order us to be executed. Atmavamanite jagat. You know, the material conception? One will think. Everyone's thinking the way I'm thinking. Well, if that happened to me, I'd execute that person. So anyways, but Jayadev had no hatred for those persons. He saw them in relationship to the Supreme Lord. So then, the thieves say, well, we want to go. We'll have one feast for you. And they're so fearful. And they weren't even eating the feast. And the king was wondering, just see the advancement of these sadhus. They're so exalted, they're so detached, even from prasadam. Not too much, not too little, just a little bit. So in this way, oh, they must be such great sadhus. Such great sages. My goodness. So in this way, the thieves said, well, we have to go. So then Jayadev said to the king, okay, give them all kinds of wealth. Let them go. But give them 5 soldiers also to follow them along. So then the soldiers took them along and they're going away. So then the soldiers are really kind of curious.
We have never seen any saintly person worship like you two have been in this kingdom. Never.
Then who are you? Who are you guys? So then, thieves being thieves, they, well, the truth is this. That actually, this Jayadev had actually made a great offense to the king. There's another king. So he told us to take this sage to the forest and kill him. But we had a little mercy upon him. So we just cut off his hands and legs and throw him into the well. But because he was a sinner, that's why he was told to be killed. It's like Krishna has a long fuse, you know. Even someone can make so many mistakes. But finally, and as we're seeing even collectively within countries, the good karma wears off, and the economy goes down. The fuse goes off. And at that time, there's two descriptions of whether the earth swallowed these two personalities up or a lightning bolt came from the sky. And the king, so the soldiers went back to the king and told what had happened. They brought the wealth back and they told what had happened. And then it was fully disclosed that actually, that Jayadev, you mean these were the persons who had stolen your money, who had cut your limbs off. Just see, I don't know anyone as exalted as you, because you see all situations in relationship to the Supreme Lord. This is the beauty of the zenith of Krishna consciousness, especially as we're in this particular material field, is to be mindful to see the Supreme in every aspect of our life and to be thankful. And never draw out the draw card of politics, because as according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if we engage in activities which undermine others, which is politics, then we become undermined. We lose bhakti. So by following the 9 processes of devotional service, we take advantage of the natural process which comes our way. And if you properly take advantage of this natural process as a distributor, as a canvasser, as you are developing a heart transformation, distribution means heart transformation. I'm going further into the process of attachment. I'm going further in the process of detachment. Then, because you have learned all situations in a perfect light, and you, of course, it's described, you're not given a test, you cannot pass, that the Supreme will use you in various parts of the world, in various parts of the Dham, to always be mindful of the Supreme. And as a distributor, you'll be a qualified canvasser, a communicator of Krishna consciousness, invite the entire world to also follow this path. So in this way, we can meditate on how to take advantage of the process ourselves. And don't become wooded-headed. Don't take it for granted. Because if you don't take advantage, others will be sent that will. So I will stop here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Maharaj.
One thing, Maharaj. About the monkeys. Huh. The monkeys
didn't
drop Zoom and Puranam, Rastra, these are demigods. They're not ordinary monkeys.
Right.
You know, they don't have to go to the bathroom. From that level.
I can. Yeah.
I suppose you shouldn't mention names, but there's one incident with a very prominent devotee who fell from his sannyas, and he was. Prabhupada wanted him to go preach in the communist countries, and he said, "How can I do that?" He said, and then he said, "Well, what will I eat?" And the Prabhupada said, well, you can eat meat. Now, I don't know if that's the same incident that you were alluding to, but there was that.
Dave Amrita Swami was also there when Prabhupada said that. No. No, he basically, he emphasized, then he said, he actually used offer meat. Offer meat. Well, for preaching purposes, you can do anything like that. But yeah, it's interesting. The principle being understood is that Prabhupada emphasized the essence of the power of preaching. And we can see just by those who have always performed so much austerities in those lands that ultimately so much wondrous, so many wonderful devotees have come as a result of that. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you very much. You mentioned, actually you highlighted the importance of serving the Dham, and what is the point in inviting so many people when the Dham is still very dirty, externally speaking. So my question is, there is one devotee here, his name is Vishnumurti Das, and he has a project called Bridge Foundation. For years he's been trying to clean up, and he has proven record of anybody else, better than anybody else, from Brahmakundi here, all over. And his request is, how come there is nobody? We can sit on the Vyasasana and glorify Dham Seva, but nobody really wants to come forward and join hands, do anything for Dham Seva. How do we explain that?
We have a total Prabhupada Vani Ashram and Radhakund totally devoted towards that. We are presently contacting the government to get sponsorship for those programs. So you can contact Devaki Pran at Radhakund. And it's Prabhupada Vani Ashram. It's right past Gopal Mandir to the left. And there's, if you've noticed, Yuga Kishore is another devotee. And if you do a prakrama of Giri Govardhan, you'll see many nice cages doing exemplary in that way. Radhana Swami himself came with, that was Indraduma Swami. Radhana Swami came as far as respect towards Shamdas passing. And Indraduma Swami also, they took a whole crew. They went out and cleaned the polyurethane bags of Govardhan Hill. And if you notice the Parikrama Marg, going from, from Govardhan Township to Radhakund, has been very clean. And we personally go out daily. Even, for example, after cleaning of Radhakund, also in now the temple here is developing programs. I mean, you're seeing it before your eyes. You heard the announcement this morning of cleaning, Salili Tukun like that. So in other words, it's happening. I know in Barsana, many different programs are going on a private level. So yes, it is small. We have a lot of work to do. But the point being is that we don't want to minimize. Just think that, again, the analogy with the framework. We can decorate the framework. You take care of the Dham when you're here. Because, you know, in a few generations, if we don't do this offering to the Lord, then the problem is this, is that actually that we'll develop a sense of taking things for granted. And that's, we look in our altar, everything is so pukka, everything is so clean. So in this way, we can be very conscientious that ultimately the Dham is, the point being is, the Dham is Krishna, is non-different. There's no difference between the deity form and the Dham. In other words, we're developing emotional understanding from worshipping the deity, and in this way, we will take care. Krishna himself would sweep the path as the gopis, Radha, and the different sakis would come into Radhakund. There's a nice verse, shloka. Krishna himself would do it. Lord Ramachandra would take the remnants of Sabari. He would render service like that. Even Lord Krishna would clean the plates of the Rajasuya sacrifice. He would clean the leftover jute, contaminated plates. So if The Supreme is doing it. We just have to look around more specifically. It's being done. But you're right. So much work has to be done. But one thing is, if anyone engages in activity, they'll develop a very wonderful taste for Krishna consciousness.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Thank you for such a very encouraging and inspiring class, Maharaj. If I heard you right, you had mentioned a point that Krishna is very merciful to his devotees. Mm. And you cited a couple of examples for the same. Mm. That Sugriva took the wife of Vali later.
Yes.
And Vibhishana took the wife of Ravana later. But it was quite dharmic and perfectly religious for them to do that. Because in Arthashastra, Chanakya quotes from the Vedic literatures that if a woman does not want to enter into sati, into fire, and if she has no issues, no children, then she can choose to remarry, which is called widow remarriage,
right,
we call it. Of course, if she has a grown-up son who will protect her, it is preferable that she does not marry, because she has someone to protect her. So for Tara, wife of Vali, to marry Sugriva, or Mandodari to marry Vibhishana was perfectly in line with dharma, because it was with their desire they married them. They were not forced or raped by Vibhishana or by Sugriva. Whereas in the case of Vali, he forcibly took away Sugriva's wife, and Ravana forcibly took away wives of so many. For that matter, the Supreme Lord never tolerates even his devotees doing such wrong things. Because we find in South India, you know, they worship along with Hanuman, even Dvivida also, as one of the associates of Sitaram, Lakshmana, Hanuman. So Dvivida was in such an exalted position, but by his association with Narakasur, Dvivida became so fallen that he was killed by Balaram, because he started chasing after the gopis and wanted to enjoy them. So Lord will not tolerate seeing his devotees eloping with other men's wives. I felt this point to be very important, because sometimes even within our society, we find that somebody, due to wrong intimate contact with other men's wives, may elope with another man's wife, and they seek compassion. They say that, you know, Krishna tolerates his devotees. Krishna doesn't tolerate wrongdoers, especially those who go against dharma. So when I heard you saying Krishna is compassionate, I very much appreciated, which is very true. He is the personification of compassion, ocean of compassion. But certainly Krishna has other side also, where he rectifies the wrongdoers, including his devotees who go on the wrong path. So if I am wrong in any way, kindly please correct me, Maharaj, because I am very insignificant in understanding this.
Sugriva, that his positioning, he'd become, having done that, but it was coupled with becoming intoxicated. He was forgetting the mission at hand. And that's why Lord Ramachandra directly sent Lakshman. Okay, you threaten him. Don't kill him. Threaten him. And that's what brought Sugriva back to his rightful consciousness. And so though there was a coupling, but when Ramachandra went to see Bharat, he didn't mention any of these things because of their scene. He oversaw that. And and it's true, as you mentioned, even in different situations where there is a emergency, for example, let's say an example of Mataji, whose husband leaves this world, is an emergency. But the warnings go there when there's intoxication for sensory activity independent of dharma. And so the points you're saying are very, very clear. At the same time, Lord Ramachandra became a little... He just wanted to give a little bit of warning to his disciple, Sugriva. You better waken up. And Vibhishan also is another, you know, is more of a clear cut. After service, after being given the kingdom... In that way, he served that, and he even asked Lord Ramachandra, you stay here. You please stay here. So he had more of that save above. What we can learn from this is the important principle of adding, and to not make the same mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes, to err as human, or as we're following the process, but not the same mistakes over and over. So it's very, these are some nice examples, actually. Some nice examples. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Mataji?
Srila Prabhupada used to end all the classes with chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead in this very life. So that used to give me hope. A lot of hope, and I'm being so hopeless. We all needed that. So recently we're hearing in the class that it's not possible to go back to Godhead in this very life. So could you just explain that?
In principle, to associate with Krishna means we have to understand how his operatives, how those around him operate. Brajavasis. Of course, Krishna is the supreme Brajavasi. That's why I said, Jananivas. The Pajaris, they go directly back home. Because they're getting direct training. For those Pajaris who are rendering such wonderful seva, especially we see here, that they have a future destination. Now, the principle being is that somewhere along the line, you have to get trained up by the Brajvasis. Of course, the Shastra says there's four types of Brajvasis. Those who have Janma, they have the birth. Those who live periodically in the Dham. And those who visit just a few times. But also the Brajvasi who learns the distribution process, who may have never physically come, they are also Brajvasi. Either way, we cannot limit the power of God. As I quote the verse, Krishna Soyasam Mana Andakar, where there's the light of Krishna, darkness cannot enter. Are we to say its stool on the ground cannot be purified by the sun? So just even stool can become purified in the presence of a sun. So in the strength of the Supreme, it's his prerogative to his choice to bring us back home, back to Godhead. There's a nice story, true story in Los Angeles. One devotee was Bhakta so-and-so, I've forgotten his name. And he never got along with the other devotees. He was a rough character. Never got along with the other devotees. So what happened was, he left his body in a car accident. I think it was Bhakta Robert. So the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, whatever happened to Bhakta Robert? Prabhupada goes, he's gone back home, back to Godhead. What? Him? I think someone said on the internet some time ago, it's like, you know, an analogy. You go back to Godhead and you look over. Look at that guy over there. He stole money from the Hindi. What's he doing in Golok? Look at that person. He stole too much Mahaprasadam. He stole my watch. How all these persons back in Golok, they had so many inebrieties. But the problem was everyone stopped. They were looking at the person just coming in, looking at you, you know. That's what everyone's wondering, how you made it back. The principle is this. We cannot limit how Krishna operates. This devotee, for some reason, may have had some rough externals. This is a Prabhupada's follow-up. He may have had some rough externals, but Krishna said enough is enough. So we cannot limit our advancement in Krishna consciousness to a mathematical formula. If in this field, you have the association who can train you up in that vibration of eternal service, then you can be promoted by the power of the Lord. But generally, it is prescribed towards one who get direct association with the Dambasis, or the deity form.
But isn't the Dambasi, the Bijbasi that's training us up, isn't that Srila Prabhupada?
Who's giving you access to this field? Again, we're saying everything in our talk is in relationship to Prabhupada. It's not seen as separate. But the emphasis is to see everything in relationship. Just like Prabhupada, he's given us these deities, he's given us service to the deities. So how can we say Srila Prabhupada is separate from the Dambasis, service to the Dambasis? They're in relationship.
There was one devotee who told us one pastime. He said that he told Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, there's no hope for me to go back to Godhead. There's no hope. Mm. And Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry, I have the key for the back door. When Krishna's not looking, I'll sneak you in.
Jai ho, Srila Prabhupada, key!
Jai!
Jai ho. So the future's ever so bright. So we've gone over a little bit. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Jagru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jagru Premanandi.